Okay, I think I'm going to turn it over to, I think Graham's sharing today with, and so Graham, did you want to come up and, no? Okay. All right, well, we'll just continue on with, here we are, yeah, and in conclusion.
If the children haven't gone out to Sunday school yet, you're free to go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Do you like being in church? One, two, three. Isn't it good to be together? But more importantly, isn't it to be good in the presence of the Lord? Father, we thank you for what you're doing this morning. Holy Spirit, we're fully dependent on you, and we need you to come. We need you to be here. We thank you for your presence. You're amongst us. You're touching lives already. Lord, we pray that you would speak the words that you need spoken, but more importantly, would hear the words of the Lord this morning. Thank you, God. Amen. Thanks for the enthusiasm, Marty. I've lost him. Oh, there he is. I didn't know you had it in you. It must be spring. You got the motorbike out again? Yeah? Okay. You know, a couple of months ago, I shared something, and part of what I said was, and I told some of the stories of a little bit like the Jesus tent, and how around the world, people are waking up looking for hope. And they're going to churches. And I had a couple of stories that I'd just recently seen in the UK where they're not even being invited by their friends. They're having a dream and they say, I've got to be somewhere, and they're going to a church. And I said, then the church has to be ready. You know, we as a church, I love what you're saying, Marty, bring them in, but are we ready? You know, if they're going to line up for 3 hours to come here and to worship and be baptized, then we better be here waiting for them. It's going to get a little less critical as I go along. I just wanted to say that because, you know, we say something. I'm guilty as charged, you know. I'm not pointing fingers because you know what they say, you know, three pointing back at you. But you know, we say we want this, and then we just drift in when it's convenient, and we show up when we think it's okay. Oh, I got something else going on. I can't make it this week. You know, if we really want it, we're going to change the way we live. And we're going to be here waiting on a Sunday morning. We're going to be here waiting for the crowds to come in, not showing up 20 minutes after they showed up. You know, the Lord won't send people if we're not here. Monday night, let's pray. Prayer does change things. We look back on revivals of history, and it usually starts with some prayer meeting that nobody knew about. If we want people to come in, we want revival, we need to be in there Monday night praying. We need to be praying in our homes. We need to be getting together with our, you know, fellow believers and praying. The Lord wants to do it, but he says to us, are you ready? Can I trust you? If I send people, you know, are you going to do what they need? Are you going to be available for them? I just felt that strongly, not to criticize what you're saying, Marty, because I think we need that passion and we need to get excited about what God is doing around the world and can do here. But let's not just say, oh, I want it, Lord, and then not count the cost. You know, there's the scripture that says you don't go and build a tower without counting the cost. And I find that hard. I don't like the cost. It costs a lot to build the kingdom. And we don't always like it. But anyway, I promise we get a little less harsh. Let's turn my notes over. So today, what we're going to do, and Chuck's going to share a little bit as well, and we're going to tag team a little this morning. And part of what we're doing, we're forming a new congregation here. And it's wonderful having his church people with us. It's wonderful having new people that are neither part of West Ottawa or his church coming to join us. And God is building his church. He is doing something. And we're excited about what he's doing. You know, Friday night, Hannah shared a little bit with the leaders what happened Friday night here. You saw the announcement about the discipleship training. We're going to do one for young adults here Friday nights. And it was the introductory one. And there's a thirst and excitement, I think, for doing that, for learning, becoming disciples. You know, help me, teach me, train me. Those of us that have been around a little bit longer, we can help those that are new in the faith. Let's do that. So this morning, we're looking a little bit about, well, what is the church? You know, who are we? This strange bunch of people. I love seeing, you know, the chairs at the front filled a little bit more than they used to be. So that's always good. So let's talk a little bit more about, you know, our DNA. I was thinking about DNA, and yeah, we've said that a few times. What's the DNA of the church? Yeah, some of you have been around a little bit longer know that just back in March, we celebrated 53 years of being a congregation in the city, as previously Church of the Way, then West Ottawa Community Church, basically. And the Lord has sustained and kept us. But there's DNA in an organization. You know, it's metaphorical, of course. But we talk about that. You know, before they discovered DNA, I wonder what they said. But it's in the blood. Yeah, that's better. You know, metaphors are weak, but they're useful. Part of my day job, I work with, you know, modeling tools and math modeling and so on in software. There's a famous quote about mathematical models. You know, all models are wrong. Some are more useful than others. You know, it's true, because as soon as we try and put a model on something, as soon as we try and say this is how it works, then we're wrong. Yeah, because it's changed, or we didn't quite... can't quite explain it. And metaphors are the same way. We've been talking about a merging of these two congregations. We've been talking about a marriage. Well, that's a great picture, but it is weak. It will fall over if you push it too far. But it's a convenient way of thinking about it. And DNA is a convenient way of thinking about things that help us. And I was thinking about marriage and DNA and this metaphor for the churches coming together. And I thought, well, you know, when a man and a woman gets married, our definition of marriage, by the way, when a man and a woman get married, they come together and then they have children. There were two separate DNAs, totally different in lots of cases. But they create a new DNA in a new child. And that's kind of what's happening here. We can't hang on to one of the old DNAs. We got to see the Lord is bringing life. He's bringing newness. He's doing something amazing. And maybe it is so that we can line up people for being baptized. Let's be ready for that. But he is creating a new life from the two previous ones. Not that there's anything wrong with the previous ones. You know, when you get married, it doesn't mean, oh, I was so broken. Well, that's probably true. But I was so broken, my DNA didn't work. I need to get married and create a new DNA. No, it's not like that. The old DNA is still good, and the old DNA is still there in the new life. Yeah. But it's modified. And in some ways, improved. When we look at our children, we say, what a beautiful thing. Most people, when they have a baby, they look at their baby and they say, that's the most beautiful thing I've seen. Others are saying, wow, what an ugly baby. But the parents love it. And that's what counts. Actually, your babies are beautiful. Wow, they're going to throw me out. So as we look at that, you know, let's look at, you know, one body but shared DNA. And we'll look a little bit about the West Ottawa, where we've come from. There's perhaps a longer history, longer DNA. But of course, those that know his church and the history there can see how they're coming together to create something new and something beautiful. So I want to go through. This is where we hope to land. Always start with a conclusion, keeps you honest. We will explore some of the history, and it's going to be very brief because there is a lot of history in 50-something years. And sometimes we use the term diaconate. You might have heard that a few times. Well, what is that? Let's talk a little bit about that this morning as well. And we're going to see through this morning, you know, we are Christ-centered above all. Amen. You know, there is nothing more important than the centricity of Christ. Jesus is it. We worship Jesus. He's central to everything. You know, even if it's a business meeting, Jesus is central to that. Even if it's a clean-up work day, Jesus will be central to that. And we're deeply rooted in God's word. We're going to see that, Bible and prophetic. A community is our family, a place of healing, a servant-hearted ministry to local church and city, and the plurality of eldership. And that's where we get back to the diaconate. So that's where we're going. How do we get there? Well, there's a little bit of history. Lois Hall, one of the founders of this West Ottawa Community Church congregation, Ken and Lois, came to Ottawa in 1964. I think they came to Ottawa as young Baptist pastors right out of seminary. And then later they went through life. They got into the Baptist church and pastoring there. And they were leading a youth group. It's always the young. We need the young people because they're passionate. They're passionate. I often say, energy is wasted on the young. Yeah, we need some. but we release the young people. If you're young here, and Hannah's definition of young is 35 and under, which next year will have to go up a year. but if you're a young person and you're part of this church, you're part of this congregation, be released in your ministry. We need you. We want you. You're part of what God's doing. You're not the next generation. You're the now generation. So Ken and Lois founded the church. And then in 2003, which seems like a long time ago now, but that was 30 years in, they started this church in about 1973. And that's how we got to the 53rd anniversary this year. But 2003, Lois was thinking about what are the words over this church from the city, from international ministries, and back in the 1980s, 1990s, there were a lot of people traveling around then, and they would come to the church. We were meeting in schools back then rather than here. We bought this building in 2000. They would come and say, the Lord is saying this to you as a congregation. And she captured some of those things. And first she put down, what's the foundational mandate? Everything is built upon Jesus's commission to evangelism and discipleship. You know, that's been from the very beginning. And it's exciting to see how, young and sunny particularly, but this resurgence of passion for discipleship. To see two discipleship training schools happening on Fridays, one at One Way Ministries, one here, and the young people getting involved. You know, that is great. And that's our foundational mandate. The scope is both home and abroad and covers the process of making new believers and taking them to the final goal of every person a minister. That was written down as the foundational mandate for this congregation. It hasn't changed. It's part of the DNA. We might forget it. We might drift off from the mandate a little bit sometimes, but fundamentally, that is there. Core values, she wrote, our core values in achieving this mandate are relationships which lead to community, plural and collegial leadership, and the belief in and practice of the fivefold ministry gifts. Those are core values of this church. If you read the Bible and you go to any church, it's nothing new. It should be the core values of anybody that's representing Jesus, because he only has one set of core values. But anyway, sometimes people are called to emphasize particular areas, and that's okay. And then there's the prophetic calling that she went through and emphasized. And we don't have time this morning to go through all of them. These are just the headings. There were five that have been captured, or six actually, that have been captured. First is groundbreaking. Over the decades for this congregation, we have very often been the first church in Ottawa to do something, and still are in many ways. And there's a number of examples going back how we were the organization. It was very much Ken and Lois. I mean, it was there. It wasn't, you know, we supported the vision that Ken Lois kept bringing to us. Things like the March for Jesus, when it started again back in the 1990s, it was West Ottawa Community Church that really got it moving again and organized a lot of it. 40 Days Ablaze, 40 days of worship nights in a row, were part of getting that organized. Sacred Assembly, you know, and that connection with First Nations. It was all a lot of that coming out because Ken was recognized in the city as a trailblazer, a breakthrough person that would bring something new. And we rallied around him to do that. Second, fathership. A lot of fathering and a prophetic voice called Harold Harding brought that word to this congregation. And there's a calling and gifting of the church, not just the leadership, in fathership and fathering other churches, fathering other organizations, fathering believers. There's a lot in that. Third, sending, you know, sending out leaders, sending out people on missions. And yeah, the flags up on the wall there. There's all the provincial ones first, but then the others are countries where we've been to in some way as a missions outreach team. And the first one that can name them all, write them down and give them to me before coffee, wins a prize. Actually, we had somebody here, a young lad for a while, teenager, and he was really big time into flags. And he came up to us one Sunday and said, "You know, you got the flags in the wrong order." There is a hierarchy, especially the provincial flags. There is a hierarchy, and they should be in the right order. I'm not sure if they are now, but they get shuffled sometimes. But missions, we've done that. And maybe at the moment you don't feel like we're doing much with missions. Ken and Bob just recently went to Guatemala. Ken, Chuck. and there's... yeah, other things going on. And that comes and goes. It has seasons. So, fourth was the apostolic calling to the city, Providence, and nation. And back then, a lot of it was watchmen for the nation. It was really big time then. Ken was part of that. And we had a lot to do with it. When they did the remembrance for the ship, the Jewish ship, St. Louis, and we bought... You've got to see that video. It's around if you get a chance to see it. It's a very moving story. David Maines is part of it. But we were very much involved in bringing that to Ottawa, making that happen. So and it's not to boast. It is a little to boast because we can boast in the Lord. But it's what the Lord is doing and has done through us. These are things that are important. Restoration. You know, we've been called a healing church. Sometimes a little bit like a hospital, particularly for leaders and ministry leads. You know, they get burnt out, they get hurt, they get damaged because they're on the front lines continuously. And over these years, we've had ministry, you know, pastors and ministry leads just come here with their family and enjoy the presence of the Lord, enjoy the healing, doing nothing. apart from being part of the restoration process. Restoration is on God's heart. He wants to restore the things that have been taken away. We need restoration, and we still see it today. It's very hard being a hospital. When you're a hospital, you only see sick people. You know, talk to any nurse or doctor. And they come in, they get restored in the Lord, and their faith is renewed, and the hurt is removed. And then they move back to another ministry because that's really their calling. But our role, very humbly, is to be there for them. And we've done that over the years. Sixth is worship. You know, worship is in everything we do, and we've already said that. Worship in everything we do. It's all about Jesus. So don't ever complain that we sing too much. That's who we are. Even us non-singers love to worship. And I need at least 150 people to keep me on key. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We need a few more. Bring some friends. So that was what Lois wrote about it. Of course, there'd be more to that, but that is foundational. That guides the eldership quite a bit in decision making and focus and where we go. All right. When we're talking about this type of church, we're talking about the DNA. There's three scriptures. I'm just going to read them up front, and then we'll jump in and out of referencing them. But if you just remember these, you know, the fellowship of the believers, everybody knows Acts 2:42. Number of churches, if you look at their history, they started because the pastor of the time read Acts 2:42 and said, why can't my church be like that? And they moved on into that. And this is very much foundational to us. You know, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Well, you could stop there. Just do that and you're covered most. You know, that's amazing. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. You know, wonders and signs follow. Let's look for those wonders and signs that come through the Lord, and not what we generate, but what the Lord does through us. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Community, Hannah. And the good news, you know, if you follow this, by next April 26th, we'll have 365 and a quarter more people. Because there's 365 and a quarter days in a year. If it's a leap year, we get one more. But the Lord was adding because they were focused on him as they went down. The next passage that's really important, this is a little bit more of an eye test, but I just wanted to put it on the screen. I've taken a little bit out. But anytime, go read Ephesians 4:1-16. It's there. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Wow. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. You know, It starts with me. There's only one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is only one. So, and jumping ahead a little bit, 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And that's an important part to recognize, and we'll come back to that a little later, in that they're there to equip the people, not to do the work. Until we reach the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking of the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, That is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We're all familiar with those passages. We read it over and over. It's often quoted by different people, but do you really know what that's saying? If you read that out and say, I like it, you're committing to quite a lot. And we'll come back to some of this when we talk about the diaconate. But, in that last part, we're looking for, first, we're the body, he's the head. Second, the whole body, joined and held together, does the work. You know, there's some really important concepts in there. Matthew 28, 18, then Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus is always with us. But note there again, we've read this, we know this passage, but it starts with the why we can do this. Lots of people think, oh, we got to go out on the mission field and save people. Well, it starts by saying Jesus has the authority and we can go in his authority. You know, it doesn't say, I've given you the authority, go do it. He says, I have been given to him. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. We need to recognize that. So these are concepts and Bible verses that support our DNA and where we're at and what we do. Then moving ahead a little bit, Jesus has always been the center. I started there. It's one of the things we're looking at. So let's just prove that once again. Colossians 1:18, it tells us that Jesus alone leads the church. You know, if you want to know who's in charge here, it's easy. It's Jesus. Some people think it's others. Trust me, Jesus. And he is the head. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. It's all about Jesus. And everything we do here is all about Jesus. So if you're thinking, oh, let's do something, or if the leadership thing, should we support something? Should we go and do this something? The question we then ask is, how is that about Jesus? How does his church, his body, receive the supremacy when we look at things like that? So, our basic list: Christ-centered, worship of Jesus. Those two we've covered, really important. The third one there, we're deeply rooted in God's word. And usually when we're saying that, we mean the Bible. We believe the Bible. We follow the Bible. We don't change the Bible. And Bob's really good at making sure we don't change the Bible. Because, you know, Paul used the Authorized Version, so it must be good enough for us. What's written in the Bible is the Word of God. There's enough scriptures that say that as well. 1 Timothy 3:16 talks about the inspired Word, the God-breathed Word is Scripture, and we need to take it. We can't change it. There's a warning in Revelation: if anyone changes the word of this book, you will be condemned. So the Bible and Scripture and what it teaches is fundamental to what we believe. And in these days, that could be a challenge for us, because the Bible has what some people call hate speech. And we don't call it that. It's the wisdom of God. But we can be challenged. If you follow the Bible and you believe the Bible and you preach the Bible, you can be challenged. You might even have to go to prison because we believe the Bible. Am I ready for that? You know, that's a question I ask myself. We all need to ask. But we believe the Bible. The Bible is God's word. But it's not only the Bible, we also believe in the prophetic. The word of God also comes beyond just the Bible. And you do have to be careful with the prophetic. There are people that call themselves prophets, and it's just wishful thinking in my mind. You know, the Lord says you're going to have a big house and drive a car and get a job. Well, maybe the Lord's not saying that, but that's wishful thinking. So be careful with prophetic. But there are people that are respected, that speak the word of the Lord, which is it's very much a cultural thing. Bible as a text is eternal. It was written by God. It's hopefully translated through the wisdom of the Spirit to English language, but that's why we need to go back and look at original versions if we can. And the prophetic is very much in the moment. It's seasonal or it's cultural, and the prophetic voice will stand up and say, this nation is going to do this, potentially. You know, I'm not brave enough to prophesy about a nation. I might say something nicely about you in a dark room, but but we can do that. Everybody can speak the word of the Lord. And there's gifts. We'll probably jump into the verse a little bit before we're done. And that's all there. So a place healing. Oh, sorry. Community is our family. That's really important. We are family-based. Place of healing. I mentioned that already. You know, if people come here, we don't need them and expect them to work or serve. They come here for healing. And that's okay. But if you're healed and you're serving, you're passionate about the Lord, then that's your place to get involved. All right. So servant-hearted ministry, we've done a lot for the city and over the years, and that's still our heart. As you know, Chuck and I think Young, you're part of it now, the Unity team with Isaac Gimber and the others, to bring unity to the churches of Ottawa. That is part of our heart. That's part of our DNA. And you know, for those of us that kind of seem more local and not involved in the city or the nation work, you know, when Ken Lois got involved with Watchmen for the Nation, you know, it's hard to start thinking, well, they're ignoring us. You know, well, they're doing everything for the city, but what about me? What about this church? And, you know, sometimes when you're called to things, you got to pay the price. And it's not they're ignoring us. It's because the Lord is using us to do something greater than what he just does here. And you know, rather than complaining, let's get involved and support and make that part of our mission and purpose here. So that's so. And then next I'll do plurality of elders, the diaconate. And I think that might bring us to Chuck, yeah. Good.
Okay, let's take a minute and just, can you stand up with me? Just stand up and then turn around, greet someone, kind of love on them for a minute, okay? Tell them how beautiful they are. Come on. This is one of the most beautiful sounds. One of the most beautiful sounds is the sound of people loving one another. One of the most beautiful sounds. People loving one another. What a beautiful sound. There is no sound like the sound of people loving one another. You know? Isn't it beautiful? It's a beautiful sound. I love this sound. You know, there's a lot of sayings that I like. I remember sayings, things I've heard people say. And one is that we all get to play. We all get to play. And that's the body of Christ. Everyone functions in their gifting and their calling, and we all get to play. And isn't that amazing? It's a healthy body when the whole body is functioning. When the whole body gets to play, everybody gets involved. So it's so beautiful. I'm going to just touch on a couple of things this morning just quickly. And I've been living under this banner called gratitude. There's this, you know, we can choose, you know, the banners we live under, you know. The Bible says that his banner over us is what? love. And you know, I've been living under this banner called gratitude, and it's become my default. Now you have to sort of choose it as well, you know, choose to keep going into gratitude. But that's one of my banners right now flying over me. The other thing is it was a sweet, sweet sound this morning, wasn't it? It was a sweet, sweet sound to his ears, but to our ears as well. It was a beautiful, beautiful sound. How beautiful it was. After Thursday, we met together. Some of the leaders met together, and Reinhard came and spoke to us about evangelism. And I left that meeting, and I write things down. This probably was the next morning, but I wrote this. I said, this is a beautiful moment in our history. It is fitting that a new logo represents what the Lord has done and is doing. And Young and others will speak more to that in the future, to a logo. But it's fitting that there be a new logo that speaks to what the Lord has done and is doing. And in my reading, you know, it's good to read through the Bible, you know, because God speaks through his word every day. And so just reading through my Bible, this was the verse that popped out of me. We rejoice and delight in you. We will praise your love more than wine. How right they are to adore you. Isn't that beautiful? And this is what we're doing this morning. We're really loving on God. You know, we're honoring him. We're honoring what he's done. You know, on our wedding day, I went for a walk, and during my walk, the Lord spoke to my heart, and he said, this is not just your day. This is the day of everyone who's invested in your life. Yeah. You know, and often, you know, the 10 lepers, there was one leper that went back. He went back. Just think about that. He went back to give thanks. And I sometimes remind Daryl, the man that led me to Jesus, and I remind Ken of this as well, is that there is an ongoing crediting to their accounts. It's such a beautiful thing, an ongoing crediting to their accounts. And there are people in your lives that you have invested in. There's an ongoing crediting to your account, better than the stock market, especially now, right? Okay. Exactly. The single most important aspect of this merger is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And, you know, Young and Sonny and his church that are here with us, the more we spend together, the more I love you guys. Where's Sonny? Over there. There she is. Young and I get together and have coffee. The more I spend with these guys, the more I love them. The more we spend with one another, the more beautiful, you know, this is. And so it's a very precious thing that God is doing. But the single most important aspect of this merger is the Holy Spirit. And Young, I want to say this because this was the thing that this was like more than the icing on the cake. You know, when we began to meet together and talk, you know, was this, I love talking about revival, eh? I love, you know, I pray for North Korea. I look forward to the day that's opened, eh? That country opens up. But you know, we would talk, and it was a lot about the Holy Spirit. And so as gifted as you guys are and the people you brought with us, what means more to us than anything else is your love for Holy Spirit. That's what means the most to us, because that's where we were founded on that, and God is just continuing, and that it's the breath of the Almighty that will breathe on our backs going forward on all. So it's so good. In August 13th, 1727, a transformative moment happened in the Moravian history. It occurred in Herrenhut, Saxony, which is modern-day Germany, where Joseph, right there in the sound booth, is heading very shortly to this community. It was later referred to as the day we learned to love, the day we learned to love. It was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In 1973, something sovereign happened in our city. It was a sovereign move of God when a group of young people from the Baptist Church encountered the Holy Spirit. And something happened that actually literally touched our city. This thing spread like wildfire. And on Thursday, I mentioned Reinhard came and spoke to us about evangelism and a passion for souls. And Reinhard, I love what he's put in your heart. It is contagious. Other people will catch that and they will run. They will run with that. So just don't keep that to yourself. Never keep that to yourself. Never be apologetic about it. This church was birthed in evangelism. There was a couple by the name of Jim and Candy Finnegan who came from Florida, Jesus people, hippies, you know, came to Ottawa armed with only a Bible and a guitar and a van, a Jesus people van. They had sayings like, get high on Jesus, one way, his way, you know, and And so from this outpouring of the Holy Spirit that happened with a group of young people from a Baptist church that met Jim and Candy Finnegan and then met in the basement of the Baptist church and experienced the moving and power and outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon their lives, something began to just flourish on the streets of Ottawa. And regularly, Spark Street Mall was a place where the gospel was shared, where the guitars were played and where the Bible was open and the preaching of the gospel took place. And then the Mission for Men, 35 Waller, on Tuesday nights, a group would meet there and they would talk about Jesus. They talk about everything everybody wanted to talk about in the room, and then they would somehow manage to turn it to Jesus, you know, every time Jesus. And out of that mission, my dear friend Wayne came out and I came out of that mission, and so the church bought a, you know, the church bought a bus. It bought a school bus, and it brought this bus down to the mission every Sunday, and people would get on that bus, then they would drive to St. Richard's Church, to the auditorium next to the church, and they'd dump out all these people, including me, and they'd dump us all out, and we'd come into this family. We'd come into a place of love, into a community. That's what I love about this place. I sometimes call us the ministry team, you know? It's like we are all the ministry team. You know, waiting, as Graham has already said, for the ones that God's bringing, has been bringing, and will continue to bring, but we're like the ministry team, all of us. And so the bus would empty, and people would get out, and I remember being in a service, and I left that day. I remember I was at the back of the community hall where we were meeting, and I just felt strange but wonderful. You know, didn't know what was going on. And someone explained to me, they said, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. And then shortly thereafter, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, spoke in tongues, you know, had a, you know, such an encounter with the Lord. But the Holy Spirit marked this community with love. It was the most visible, attractive aspect of this community and continues to be so, even more so. A visible attraction, you know, is the love that the Holy Spirit pours into our hearts and then pours out of us. It's so beautiful. The second thing I wanted, so the Holy Spirit is part of our DNA. And he's like, we can just stop right there. You know, everything proceeds from him, from the Holy Spirit. But you know, it is, the other I wanted to talk about, because this is dear to my heart, is love for the body of Christ. One of the first scriptures that I read and spoke to my heart was John, 1 John 3:14. It says, we know that we've passed from death to life because we love. And that stuck with me. I didn't know anything about prejudice. I didn't know anything about, you know, that we were only supposed to love certain people, or if they weren't part of our group, we weren't supposed to love them. You know, I didn't know anything like that. I only, you know, experienced this thing, this Holy Spirit thing going on within me, and knew that I had passed from death to life. Because I told someone the other day, when I used to go bowling before I was a Christian, I would picture the person's head, you know, right in the middle. I was a good bowler. You know, but you know, we know that we pass from death to life because we love. Love for the body of Christ. I've never known anything different. This is amazing. And so I got to tell you the story, because it's a story worth telling, is that I've never known anything different. I still get, you know, kind of boggled when people are, you know, connoisseurish when it comes to the body of Christ. I just don't know what that's like. You know, I can't relate. And it started here. It started when I was a teenager, and Ken invited a guest speaker to our church. And I, to this day, remember something of the flavor, something of what washed over me that this man delivered. I can't tell you what he said. I can just remember I was blessed. And then it was when I was in Bible college, and years later, and I'm writing a paper, and Ken helped me, you know, to write some conflict kinds of, like to give me some conflict stories, you know, that I could put in my paper. And I kinda, anyway, he told me, he said, you know, when that happened, I was extremely criticized. I was criticized for inviting this man to this pulpit. I was criticized. And you know that this church, like you know that the people that have stood behind, you know, here and have come to our church, like the variety of people. I mean, if we began to name the names, they're across the globe, you know, they come here. I remember we had a guy speak here not too long ago, and he spoke here because Isaac Gimba asked me if we would take. I said, Isaac, I don't need to know anything else about this man. He's your friend. You're recommending him. He could speak at our church. You know, we are richer. That doesn't, yeah, I'm not even going to go into what you might agree with or disagree. That's not, I don't want to go there. During COVID, I'm almost done, but listen to this. During COVID, I used to go walking. I loved the paths. I loved the paths. I had such beautiful times. I'd meet people. Some people just want to connect, eh? Remember that? And others, they would kind of, you know, walk by you and not even say hello. But But when I was walking this path, it was shortly after I'd been hearing people complain about the prophets, and they were saying terrible things about these prophetic people. And I'm walking on the path, and I heard, and every once in a while I hear this gentle voice just inside of me, and it just said something like this: "They are my friends. They are my friends." It changes everything, doesn't it? I gotta catch this. Always remember who Jesus was accused of calling his friends. Always remember that. Revelation 7:9 says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every tribe, every tongue, every language, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb." I would like that song that we sang this morning to become the theme song for a while. Hey, wasn't it? I'd like that to be the theme song. Every tongue, every tribe, every nation, his kingdom, you know, all the lyrics. I mean, it covered all the right bases. It was just the most beautiful song. What has come to the earth in recent days is a revelation of family. We've had it for a long time, and many people have had this, but it almost has to come by revelation. Otherwise, you get locked into a small group and you exclude others. But when you understand and you get a revelation of family, it changes everything. When I was in Montreal and there were 1,000 Chinese believers that came from mainland China, I was walking among them thinking, these are my brothers and sisters. You know, this family's just all of a sudden got a lot bigger than I even imagined. And I see that every time somebody comes here who's different. I say, God, your family is so, so beautiful. So in all these years later, I realized that what was being instilled by the Holy Spirit was a love for the body of Christ in answer to Jesus' prayer in John 17. That's what he instilled in us, is a love for the body of Christ in answer to Jesus' prayer. Twice in that prayer in John 17, it says, "So that the world may believe that you sent me." Then the world will know that you sent me. There's evangelism built into that love. We all get to play. As long as we love one another, we're loving. And that's what that's my last scripture, John 13, 35. "By this all men will know you're my disciples, by your love one for another." We all get to play. And that love is what the world will see. It'll be put on display, and we're going to see many people come. So just love on everybody. You already do, but the Bible says, you know, Paul, come on back up, Graham. The Bible says excel still more. That's what Paul said. So you're the most loving people I know, but excel still more. Let's excel still more. Love on everyone that comes through that door. Love them to life.
Yeah, love me too. Thanks, Chuck. Well, yeah, Chuck and I talked. We want to save the rest for next week. Are you okay with that? Yeah. You know, some people are probably thinking, it's past my time.
You're getting hungry.
Some people say, we got lunch, let's keep going.
That's right.
I occasionally teach a course. It's 4 hours a day for 5 days. So I can keep going. I'm happy.
Yeah.
I give you 4 hours, no problem. I make it up as I go along. we want to talk about the leadership structure and diaconate and that fancy word. It's a Greek word. Go look it up. Do some homework if you want. But we'll do that next week. We'd plan 2 weeks to do this, and yeah, well, we'll see how long it takes to just explore some of these things together, and we'll do that. So let's have the worship team come back. Let's think about some of the things the Lord's been saying this morning. And it's not my words or Chuck's words. It's Holy Spirit words you've got to listen to. What's that still small voice saying to you right now? Just close your eyes and listen. Don't be distracted by anything. What's he saying? You know, there's been some challenging thoughts when we look back and we say, well, that was an exciting time, or that was good. We don't want it to just be history. We want it to be his story for today. You know, it might be a little different. We probably won't have a hippie bus. But we can do it in different ways. There's people that need hope. How can you help there? Next week, we'll talk more about the ministry is the body. That's you and me. The ministry isn't senior pastor, whoever that might be, Jesus. So we'll explore that next week and challenge you a little bit around that. Do come. Come early, because revival might happen. I'll be looking for you. But what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? And he doesn't stop talking when we leave the room. He'll be talking to you all week. Maybe he's saying, make an effort and come Monday night. Pray for revival. Maybe he's saying, get engaged in a home group or small group somewhere. Maybe he's saying, come Thursday night and bring a guy who will benefit from being here with the men. Maybe he's saying, there's young adults that are hopeless, looking for the hope that they don't see in their parents and grandparents. There's so much that we could get into. Don't do it all. Just do what God has called you to. And if we all do that little piece, then his body will become complete. He can be head of a fully functioning body, which is what we really want. Father, we thank you for what you're doing here in this congregation. Lord, it's amazing to think that we have brothers and sisters around the world. Yeah, if you were just dependent on this meager crew here, it would never happen. Lord, we thank you that Jesus came, Holy Spirit empowered believers with boldness to preach the gospel, and that you are building your church today. And Lord, as we become knitted together as a community, as your people, Lord, then your body needs your head to be on that body to direct us and lead us. And Lord, we submit to your headship. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We thank you, Lord, for the passion that you put in your children. And Lord, may we go out from today empowered by you, empowered by the focus on worshiping you and singing your praises, knowing that there is a great myriad singing around your throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.